I just find it incredible that this is the second time that David has basically preached or spoken and said what I was going to say before. So the last time that I spoke, he came up to me at the beginning and started talking to me, and I was almost like, have you just read my notes? And this morning, everything he said was very similar to, you know, what God's been saying to me. So that's incredible. And the worship, thank you, Alex. That was amazing and so rich and very similar to, again, what God's been saying to me. So this morning, we're going to be looking at Teach Us to Pray. I've had on my heart a lot this week about, and over the last couple of weeks, about prayer and how God desires such an intimate and close relationship with us. The cry of the disciples to Jesus was, teach us to pray. And I just feel that's, we're going to have a little look at that in Luke 11 this morning and the Lord's Prayer. But prayer, I've just been looking at prayer, and it's the platform and channel that we receive from God, where we grow in Christ-likeness, where we find godly strength, we find peace in his presence, where all of our earthly desires, they're stripped away, and we come as a child to our Father, and we're met with all love, compassion, mercy, and grace. I've been reading a book by a guy called Andrew Murray, not Andy Murray, just to clarify, Andrew Murray, very different, but he says, we do not need to compel an unwilling God to listen to us. We do not need to compel an unwilling God to listen to us. And as David said when he prayed this morning, God is already here. He's longing to meet with us, just to do us good and to bless us. He's ever desiring and longing to spend time with us, for we are his and we belong to him. Our prayers are so precious to him. In Revelation, it talks about the prayers of the saints being like incense to the throne. I love that. Our prayer life is not like, I'm going to come on to something that I had a team meeting a little while ago, and the lady who was doing the team meeting kept on mentioning about a sausage factory, about how when you put things in, what we want out. But I just had that, the vision of, is that our prayer life is not like a sausage factory at all in any way. We don't just put things in one end and get something out the other end. But it seems to me more like an infinite ocean. And Jay Zabecki amazingly blessed me and Pete with a lovely stay in their Minehead home this week. So I've been by the sea for most of the week. And obviously when you are by the sea, you can't help it. It can't help but speak to you. So there's gonna be a lot of talk about the sea today. But I was just thinking about, like, as a child, when you come up to the sea, you're always excited, aren't you? And like, oh, and dip my toes in, and then you kind of run back a bit, and then, sorry, I'm not going to knock everything over. But then you kind of think, you're so excited, you want to go in deeper, but your parents might be just standing there holding you back. Then you maybe go in up to your knees, and then you think, oh yeah, that's amazing. I'm going to go deeper. But there's always that fear, what if I drown? What if I can't swim? What if the water overtakes me? The sea is obviously very unpredictable, isn't it? And it's very unknown. And there are lots of warning signs around the place. Don't go too far. Don't go out of sight. Make sure you stay within this area. And we can't go that deep, can we, into the sea? I mean, you see a few people who go out and you think, oh my gosh, they're mad. But apart from that, that's it. But our prayer life, I liken it to, we can be just satisfied with just dipping our toes in just a little bit. We may be afraid to completely surrender ourselves to God. Allowing ourselves to be submerged and fully surrendering may seem scary. But God, how amazing that he knows our frame. He doesn't expect us to prove ourselves to him. We don't have to make it to thus far and then, oh, he'll come and take us on. No. He, like a father, leads us. He's that father. Come on, I'll take you in. Come deeper with me, step by step. And he gently leads us into his presence. We are safe and we are secure. God is drawing us to go deeper with him. He is our faithful teacher leading us on. Oh, that he would teach us to pray. In God's presence, there are no warning signs. There are no danger, danger. It's all go, 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 go in, go deeper. But how incredible that, as we were talking about the father and the mum and dad holding the child back, how incredible that he actually gives us people in our lives who encourage us to go deeper and say, go on, it's fine, it's safe, you're fine here. I think that's just amazing how good God is, that he gives us such incredible people that we can that can encourage us and love us and support us and encourage us not to fear. So if we think back to the sausage factory, there is always a predictable outcome with the sausage factory. Man sets the parameters, and it's his imagination. So you either get a sausage or you get nothing. However, with God, his ways are not like our ways. He surprises us. His imagination is far, far greater than ours. And he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. There are no limits with God. We only have to read God's word and speak to God's people to see how much prayer impacts and changes lives. I just love it that when people come up on a Sunday morning and, you know, when we're stirred in worship, it stirs us to speak of God's goodness, as Margaret prayed this morning, and it stirs us. We just think we can't contain it. We have to tell of the goodness of God, of all that he's doing in our lives. And we burst forth with adoration for God. The secret place. God has a secret place prepared for us where we can come and we can enjoy relationship with him. In Psalm 31:20, it says, "You hide them in the secret place of your presence." Isn't that incredible? When we enter into the presence of God, we enter into the secret place that he has for us. A place of rest, of restoration, and blessing. Now, our secret or quiet place may also be a physical place, separated from other people, a place that we go where we go to hear God and fellowship with him. And Jesus would often go, it says in Luke 11, he was in a certain place, a place away from the others to pray to the Father. And God is so willing and ready to meet with us. When we draw near to him, he's already drawn near to us. He's here. He's waiting before we even come in on a Sunday. He's here. But before we have our quiet times, he's already waiting there longing to be with us. And he loves it when we come into his presence and, oh, Lord, and just that moment that we meet together in relationship. So Alex brought about this song, and I was just blown away by Psalm 23. And we sang a bit of it this morning, but he makes me to lie down in green pastures. So I put a picture of a sheep. I will explain that in a moment. But we are described as sheep to the shepherd, and he is our shepherd. I was recently listening to, on the way back from choir one evening, Premier Praise, and a guy was speaking about sheep and their defenselessness. Sheep, they're prey animals. They're largely defenseless against predators and naturally very nervous and easily frightened animals. As they are anxious and afraid, they only sleep for a very short amount of time. So they do short bursts rather than a long night's sleep. And often, have you seen a sheep sleep standing up? They're so scared, they sleep standing up just in case they've got to run away. But I love the way that God knows our frame. Without our shepherd, we would be defenseless and as afraid as these sheep, struggling to find rest. But he is our protection and our safety. He's the only one that can give us true rest. He makes us lie down. I love that. It doesn't say that he asks us to lie down, but that he makes us. As a father, I was thinking of we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer in a little while about as God is our father. But I was thinking of like when a baby, because we've got quite a few babies now in the church, but as a father would lay their baby down. I just feel like that's what God's like with us. Just surrounding us, completely protecting us. That baby is so nurtured, and we're like that. He just places us down in green pastures. He gives us rest. He knows us so intimately, our thoughts. He knows we have busy lives, and he makes us to lie down in green pastures, a secret place where we are totally safe, secure, loved, and accepted, where we find rest, where we find peace, where all the fears and the concerns of life are stripped away and we rest in him. So he makes us, he leads us, and he restores us in that quiet place. So looking at Luke 11, Christ being the teacher, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Jesus demonstrated his close relationship with the Father. He lived a life of devotion to the Father. And the disciples wanted to learn. They could see how incredible it was that Jesus had this close relationship, and they wanted it. They wanted to know more. Oh, that we would follow in the same example. Jesus, our teacher, how we should long for his instruction and his guidance by his word and spirit. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, "For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." We see that the disciples say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then Jesus shares with them the Lord's Prayer. So I don't know if you can read this. Sorry, it's really bad. On the left, it's bad. But basically, there's two accounts. There's the account of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, 9 to 13, and the account of the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11, verse 2 to 5. And if you look at them, I don't know if you can see there, but there are some differences. Very, very small. But it says, on the left, "Forgive us our debts." And on the right, "Forgive us our sins." So it's not about the exact wording. If God wanted us to pray these exact words, these prayers would have been exactly the same. So what we can understand from this is that the slightly different accounts is that actually it's not in the method. It's not in the words that we necessarily say, but it's an understanding of what it means to pray, a heart response to God. They didn't pray, "Lord, teach us how to pray," but they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." It's not in just the words. If God only responded to us by a certain method, surely that would be through works and not by grace. But praise God that we are saved by grace and not by works. It's all about our heart response to God and walking in close relationship with him, responding to the work that he's doing in us by the Spirit. So we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer in detail. We'll see how the time goes. We might have to split it into two into two sections, but we'll see. There is so much. I felt like as I was doing it, I was like, there's like a sermon in each line. So I will have missed quite a bit of things out, but also I've kind of, tried to go through it as thoroughly as I can. The first line, "Our Father who art in heaven," it's come out an awful lot this morning about our Father. So we come to our Father. When we come to our Lord, we come to our Father. We are his children, and he is our Father. We can boldly come before the throne of God because we are his children, heirs to his throne. We belong to him. Isn't that incredible? That we belong to God, the creator of the whole universe, yet he's our Father. It just blows me away. We are his treasured possession and the apple of his eye. Now the prayer starts, "Our Father." It could have started, "Father who art in heaven." Not just Father. This shows how the incredibly intimate relationship God wants to have with us. He is the Father of all of his children, collectively, but he is also our Father. He's your Father. He's my Father. He is Father to the individual. We see here straight away, our eyes are to be fixed, firstly and foremostly, on the Father who is in heaven. It draws our eyes straight away from ourselves and this world, our circumstances and our surroundings, and it focuses our thoughts on the Father in our home in heaven, where we are citizens of heaven right now, seated in heavenly places. In Philippians 3:19, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." God wants our focus to be on him first and foremost, above all others, and for our minds to be set on heavenly things. So as we come before God, like we did this morning, it's coming and it's setting our minds on who he is. And as we do set our mind on who he is, it's incredible how things, our circumstances, our week, no matter what we've been through. I love it that we come on a Sunday and sometimes it's been such a busy week. I know a number of people in the church at the moment are going through a lot of really hard times. But when we come together as a body, we come to meet before the Father, it's almost like those things that they don't, the hardship of them, what we're going through, doesn't go away. But it's like everything comes into perspective, and we can just come to our Father. So the next is, "Hallowed be thy name." God's name is high above any other name. And his name reveals who he is, his character, and his actions. Hallowed means to be sacred, holy, and separate. Jesus here is showing us that God's name is to be set apart, to be glorified, exalted above any other name. And we are to put God at the highest priority in our lives, to adore him, to exalt him, to honor him for who he is. He is all that we will ever, ever want or need. When our eyes are fixed on God and we know who it is that we're praying to, our perspective has changed. The way that we think changes. Who God is becomes so much bigger than any earthly desire or want or need or love. And we're captivated by God and his amazing love and desire for us. Just as, you know, this morning when we're worshiping, we've become captivated. God draws us in and we just can't but burst but sing of his love. In Luke 7, I love this account of the lady who comes before Jesus and she just weeping comes to his feet and pours her perfume over his feet. And then her tears are on his feet and she wipes it with her hair. I just think what an incredible, beautiful image of just adoring Jesus. And that's how we should be when we come before him, adoring him, loving him, wanting to be closer to him. She was forgiven so much that the kindness of Jesus led to her repentance. And she was bursting with love that it flowed over in her heart and her actions. Such adoration and love. When we see our God, we can't but overflow with love for him in our hearts and our actions. And we respond to his love and his heart for us. And we become lost in his wonder. How we long for God's glory and holiness to be seen in this world. Hallowing God's name puts our heart's desire for him at the top of our priorities and helps us to see God as he should be seen in all glory and holiness. Thy kingdom come. Praying for God's kingdom to come, it quickens us, it encourages us, it aligns our hearts with God's and burdens our hearts with what burdens his. It keeps us mission focused. Nothing can stop God's kingdom from coming. It is absolute certainty. God has already won the day. But I was reading in a book that I read a long time ago, Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper, and he has this incredible part section about how easy it is for us to lose that focus of the kingdom of God. But I'll read it to you. It is quite hard, but it is very challenging. So I'm wired by nature to love the same toys that the world loves. I start to fit in. I start to love what others love. I start to call earth home. Before we know it, I'm calling luxuries needs and using my money just the way unbelievers do. I begin to forget the war. I don't think much about people perishing. Missions and unreached people drop out of my mind. I stop dreaming about the triumphs of grace. I sink into a secular mindset that looks first at what man can do, not what God can do. It is a terrible sickness, and I thank God for those who have forced me again and again toward a wartime mindset. It's hard, isn't it? But how much do we think of that and think, wow, how easy is it to be distracted? How easy, how the devil works in that way, doesn't he, by distracting us? It's awful to hear, and it's hard because we know we want to keep ourselves so close to God and his kingdom, close to our hearts and in our thoughts. And as you said, the enemy tries to draw us away. We get so busy with our lives, don't we? How easy is it for a day to go into a week, for a week to go into a month to go into a year? And I'm sure as we get older, I'm starting to think the time is just flying. I was like, oh my gosh, we're in already mid-April. But it just goes faster and faster and faster time. And it's like, you know, where's it going? It's never going to stop. Everybody will have to stand before the King of Kings one day. That is absolute certainty. And the day is coming ever closer. Praying thy kingdom come keeps us ready for action, to do what God would have us do, and to keep our eyes fixed on the King. Our prayer is that we would be expectant and longing for God's kingdom to grow, for our families, our friends, our work colleagues to know God, and to be saved and added to the church. That we would long for God to move in our communities. Wouldn't it be incredible to have a revival in this community? Wouldn't it be incredible that the doors were bashing down for people to desperate to get in? We got to keep praying. Lord, Bring your kingdom. Lord, please. We want people to be saved and added into the church. That people would bow the knee before Jesus and know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Oh, that we would be burdened day and night. That God would lead us to speak to those who are lost and give us opportunities to speak to those who are suffering and blinded. Distractions are everywhere, but people seem more desperate than ever. I feel like there is such a strong, everybody seems to be going through something. It's hard. Money's tight. People are struggling with jobs and illness. And it just seems everywhere you turn, everywhere you're saying about bad news, it just seems bad news all the time. I can't even listen to the news most of the time. I just think, oh my gosh, what's going to come next? But that's not the way we are. We focus our eyes on God, and we know that we have the victory in Him. So let us keep praying that God would lead us and speak to people on our heart that He wants us to pray for and speak to. Thy will be done. God's will be done and not our will. That we would surrender our desires and dreams and yield them before God. That we will pray, Thy will be done. God will give us the desire to do what pleases Him. When we ask Him and we pray to Him, He gives us a desire to do what pleases Him, that He will use us for His glory. And as we pray God's will in our lives, it's amazing to see that God changes our heart and our desires then align with His. He gives us the grace also to yield our desires and our dreams to Him. And so often I've had times in my life where I've dreamt of something or desired something, and God's brought me to a point of actually, Lord, if you give it to me or if you don't give it to me, I just want you. And that's where I love that God brings us to that point, and that is divine. Of ourselves, we can't do that. We look and fixate and think, oh, I want this. But God can completely turn our hearts around and change us when we pray, Lord, your will be done, not mine. That He will enable us, equip us, and strengthen us to do and desire His will every day of our lives. That we would see heaven on earth. That God would be over our church, over our families. Not our will, all the enemy's will. But that God's Spirit would work in us and give us all that we need to do His will. By praying for God's will, it aligns our hearts with God's. Jesus teaches us to pray that God's will be done, as indeed He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows what is best for us. God sees in full, whereas we only see in part. Now, surrendering our lives to God can be very hard. It is hard. It's not easy. But there is great reward. Longing for God's best for us is better than settling for something that's instant and right now. It's always better to want God's best and to wait for what He has for us. And by praying God's will be done, again, we're quickening ourselves to submit and surrender to His will. Only by His grace are we able. So the first four lines of the Lord's Prayer focus on our attention onto God, who He is, our Father, His name, His kingdom, and His will. And Jesus wants us to take our eyes off our needs and look to God. This does not mean that our needs are insignificant. Of course not. Absolutely not. God cares about every single detail that we go of our lives. He cares about everything that we go through. Nothing is insignificant. He already knows our needs before we even ask. However, He wants to understand the most important thing. He wants us to understand that it's about relationship. It's all about our relationship with God, going deeper, and not being satisfied with just dipping our toes in, but being fully submerged in the depths of God's goodness and love, and discovering God's will for our lives. Being transformed into Christ-likeness and reigning in life as we respond to Him and the work that He's doing in us. This should be the basis of our prayer life. Fixing our eyes on the Lord, our Father, and responding to Him as He draws nearer and nearer. His desire is always for us. So in Matthew 6:33, it says, it encourages us to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. And as we put God first in our lives, as we hallow his name, as we desire his kingdom, we pray for his kingdom, we're seeking first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to us. In Psalm 37, 4, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. We can delight in him because he delights in us. We can only delight in him because he delights in us. And as we trust in him, we adore him, we surrender our will, we grow in confidence and security in who we are in him and how loved and precious we are to him by his grace. We respond to his delight in us and we delight ourselves in him. And God takes care of the rest. As we are changed by his spirit, our desires are also changed to resemble his. Give us day by day our daily bread. I love this bit because it's teaching us to be totally dependent upon God. It doesn't say, give us a week's worth of food or give us food forever, but every day by day, God wants us to be completely and utterly dependent upon him for every single need. He is the source of all our supply. In Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I love that we can pray scripture. We can pray that back to God. And when I was living in Lisvain, I knew I had to move. I was renting just me and the children. And I really did feel called to move and be in Fairwater. So I prayed and said, Lord, please provide a house. Every single house I went to view, literally within an hour, someone had got it. It was like every time. And I thought, Lord, this is unbelievable. I was at like, I tried every possible avenue. And I don't think I was working at the time. But every time I got, I can't remember. But I just remember that it was like a professional couple that would come right behind me. And they would obviously were more favorable. So the landlord would take them. And I thought, oh, great. What am I going to do? And I was like, Lord, please. Like, this is desperate. But I kept praying, Lord, you promised this is a need. You promised that you will supply all of my needs. And I kept coming back to God and saying, Lord, I need a house. This is a need. It's not a want. It's a need. We need a house. And I just kept praying. And the Nay came with me. It was the last house. And I remember saying to God, Lord, I can't do this anymore. If this just doesn't work out, then that's it. I just thought, I can't keep looking. So I went to look in Wellwright Road, and Nay came with me, and we looked around the house, and I couldn't even remember what the house was like. I was so gone at that point. I'd seen so many houses. I was just like, oh, what, yeah, that's fine. Anyway, speaking to the lady, and she said, oh, so why do you want to come into Fairwater? I said, well, our church is in Fairwater. I said, I serve in the community, and I want to be part of this community, and my dad leads the church. And all of a sudden, she said, oh, right. And she really, like, listened to me. And I was a bit shocked, I think. but she said, oh, well, we've got another couple coming to view the house next. And so I thought, oh, here we go. Same old story. But she goes, I'll speak to the landlord and we'll give you a ring. So I just kept praying, Lord, please, this is a need. I need a house. And me and Nay then went to, it used to be the bunker. I think it's Mr. Coffee now. We walked in, and actually, as we were coming out, the couple were walking in, and I thought, oh, they look like a professional couple. They're going to get it. And we went and sat in the bunker, and literally 5 minutes after sitting in there, the lady rang. She said, actually, I've just spoken to the landlord, and he really wants you to have the house. And I said to Nay, I can't even remember anything about it. Was it all right? I was just like, was there a toilet? I couldn't remember anything. But it was just so incredible. It was the last minute, and I just remember thinking, Lord, thank you. It was just incredible how, you know, God always, always supplies our needs and gives us what we need. It's exactly the right thing. And I mean, again, we've seen that in the last year. I just think how incredible God is for all that he's provided in our lives. And with Pete and the children, how incredible God has been. But that's maybe a story for another day. So one of the other things, I remember speaking last time a little bit on the fact that God has been really working with me in worry, because occasionally I will be taken to worry. And I can go 3 miles down the road very quickly in my thinking. But my last car had the registration OEW. I remember going to Dad's once and he said, oh, God's over every worry. And it might sound like, oh, a funny thing, but actually that really stuck with me. And I just kept thinking every time that those creepers, those temptation to fear came in, You are over every worry. Father, you are over every worry. And it says, do not give way to fear. It's not wrong for us to have fearful thoughts or to worry, Lord, how are we going to do this? But it's not giving way to that fear. It's coming back to God and who he is, that he never, ever lets us down. He always provides what we need. Oh, sorry. So, and forgive us our sins. Jesus wants us to long for purity, knowing that we cannot do this ourselves, but only by the inner working of the Spirit and by true repentance. It's a turning away of our old self and living in the new man. Scougal says, love, purity, and humility are the very foundation of heaven laid in the soul. It's incredible, isn't it? We're changed when we spend time in the presence of God. Beholding his becoming, we are transformed more and more into his likeness. Our thoughts and our desires start to align with his. But also, we become more and more aware of the sinful nature of man and how desperate we are for him every single moment. None of this is us doing anything. All we can do is come before God, and he's the one who changes us and works in us. But he wants our hearts. He wants us to love him, to come before him, to allow the Spirit to work in us and to work with the Spirit. I always find this thing that we do is keeping short accounts. So especially me and Pete, if something's happened in the day, we think, right, we have to sort this out before the end of today. We have to make sure that we sort this out quickly. And I think that's the same with God. It's keeping short accounts with God. Every time we feel, oh, was that right? Did I do that right? Or did I say that? Should I not have said that? But coming before God, Lord, show me if there's anything in my heart that is not right before you. And then as God loves us, we can then love others and forgive others. And we can only love because Christ loved us first. We are to seek God and ask him to help us to love people more and more and more. And we often hear stories of people who've been incredibly wronged. If you've heard similar kind of things, like Christian people speaking up and saying, this such and such, this happened to me years ago, it was horrendous. But I God got me to the point where I could forgive that person. And you just think, wow, like they did such an awful thing to you, but yet God has broken in and you've been able to forgive. I just, think God's incredible. And then lastly, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Jude, it says, verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. We pray that God would not allow that our foot to slip, that he would keep us. God can keep us. And that we will be with him in eternity. And it's only God who can do this. So God wants our hearts. He longs for us to go deeper with him, to put him first always. He cares about every single need and sympathizes with us. We aren't coming to a God that we need to impress. God says, come as you are. We don't need fancy words. He says that the Father already knows the things that you are in need of before you ask them. It is about relationship with the Father. And as we respond to his work in us, we are changed. We desire to do the will of God, and we see heaven laid in our soul. Oh, that we would desire to go deeper and not be satisfied with a little. Father, we just thank you so much that you are so willing and longing to meet with us. Lord, that your desire is for us. And Lord, we just respond, Lord, we want to go deeper with you. Father, we don't want to be satisfied with dipping our toes in. We want all that you have for us, Lord. We want your best for us, Father. And we know that only you can do it, Lord. And Lord, we just align our hearts this morning and just say, Father, have your way. Lord, this week, Lord, may our eyes and our focus be on you. The Lord, wherever you lead us, whatever you tell us to do, where you guide us, Lord, we will go. Because you've already prepared our hearts to do it, Lord. And Father, we just pray this week, Lord, that you would give us opportunities to speak to those around us, Lord. That you would give us those opportunities to pray for people, Lord. That, Father, you'd burden our hearts with people, family, friends, who maybe are no longer walking with you. That, Father, you would put those people on so close to our hearts, Lord, that our hearts would be bursting for those people, Lord. Thank you that you, because you loved us, Lord, we can love. Father, help us to love these people more. Help us to love each other more. Father, we just thank you for this incredible body that you've given us here. Father, that, oh, Lord, that you just bring us together, Lord. You tie us, you knit us together, Lord. And Father, it's just incredible, the love in this body, Father, and just the care. But Lord, help us to love each other more, Lord. Help us to love like you love, Lord. Oh, Father, that people would burst in through the door because they'd be able to see you here, Lord. Father, help us to shine Jesus to people in the community, Lord. Father, where there's need, Lord, give us the ability and equip us to be able to meet it, Lord, we pray. But Lord, just burden our hearts, Lord. We just want to go deeper with you, Lord. We want more of you every single day, Lord, every moment. We know how dependent we are upon you, Lord. And I pray that this week, Lord, we would experience you anew, afresh, that we would be totally submerged in your presence, Lord, and that we would be changed more like you, to be more like you, Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.